All right, 3, 2, 1. Let's get this party started. Welcome to Gym Life Podcast, Fit, Jacked, and Stacked. One show to rule them all. I'm your host, Joe Janiga. We have a pretty big lineup of stuff here today. We're going to talk about 5 different strongman shows, of course, powerlifting show, some stuff in the news, a little CrossFit, believe it or not. And, of course, maybe we'll start off the show with clearing up a few items, I guess you can say, a little retraction from last week. You know, I don't make apologies, but if I get something wrong, I'll make sure I get it right. So we'll start with that anyhow. You know, you guys, I did a review last week, if you remember, to kick off the show. Or not to kick off the show last week, but right now, of course. And I did the review on Clash on the Coast. And I made, reviews are reviews, right? They're subjective, my opinion on a lot of things. But not without trying to get information right, of course. I'm not just going to make up stuff about what happened at the show or make up stuff and, you know, who was there and that sort of thing. But I did do, as a part of that review, sort of the production side of things or the live stream side of things. And I made the comment that the microphone, Niani's microphone, went out a couple times. And I insinuated that it was the production company's fault that they couldn't get the microphone up and running. Now, they had a lot of issues with that production last week. The microphones were not one of them, so I retract that statement. I got information it was them, and that's how I share my information, of course. I ask questions. I got the wrong information. So just to be clear, it was not the responsibility of the production company to provide the microphones for the live stream or for the actual, for Yanni there announcing the show. With that said, everything else was on the production company, so I take nothing back in that respect. But then again, I didn't mean to offend or attack either, because I got this big, long email or direct message from the owner of the company, basically just handed it to me about, you know, how it, you know, doesn't appreciate my comments and this and that. And listen, if anybody goes back and listens to those comments about the production, you know, I didn't mention any names. I didn't attack anybody. It just made some simple observations that the live stream didn't go very well. And it didn't. Listen, I was telling the truth. As we know, and I think we all know what a review out there is, right? A review is a subjective look at a particular thing, whether it's a restaurant, an event, or a review of if you wanted to review a date, for God's sake. I mean, you know, we all have an opinion on it. And subjectively, I tried to lay that out to some degree. And it doesn't make some people happy sometimes. We know that. Listen, I've reviewed a lot of shows on this show, and you guys know this. And for a lot of people that are my friends, even, and I would even bring up, in some cases, some constructive criticism. No doubt they probably already felt too and understood or realized that things didn't go as well as they should have gone. And some corrections need to be made. But my review isn't to talk to those people. My review isn't to call out a promoter or to call out a particular organization that was assisting or lending production or lending any type of technical assistance to. My review simply is to try to draw a picture or to color a picture for all you guys out there and as to what I saw going on. So nobody should ever take a review personally. And I felt like that's what happened with this particular incident. It's nothing personal. Listen, I review me. I'm sure I get a lot of reviews on this podcast out there that, you know, I don't get some kind words. I get it every week. I don't get some kind words. It's nothing personal. You know, sometimes you say stuff that offends people or it rubs them the wrong way, and they're going to give you kind of their take on it and how they felt. And listen, I don't have thin skin, so, you know, give it to me. But a review simply is, and anytime I'm reviewing any of these events or any of these things that pertain to our gym life, yeah, it's a subjective viewpoint. I was there. I saw everything. And this is my take on it. And I try to bring it back to my listeners and so they can understand what I was looking at and maybe lend to the value of that sort of production, maybe in some cases. In some cases, it just says, okay, we got to tighten things up and get a little bit better next time. But it's important we have reviews. It's important we have, you know, reviews on products and events and those type of things because, yeah, we want people to get it right. We're not haters. We don't want to see them fail. We just, of course, as spectators, as consumers of something, if we're purchasing it and spending our money on it, we just want to make sure people get it right. So reviews just need to be taken with a little thinner skin or a little thicker skin out there and just understand that they're subjective. And, you know, I can, if I was ever calling somebody out you know, vocally, like you're a bad person or you did something wrong in my review, that wouldn't be a review, then that would be an attack. And in this case, I was just pointing out the obvious. So retract that statement about the microphones. However, I leave everything else exactly where it was at. So yeah, that's first thing. Just get that off my chest. That was thinking about that all week. You know, it's just, you don't like to hear that. You know, of course you never do. And, you know, occasionally I'll say things on this show, as many of you know out there, I wear my emotions on my sleeve sometimes when it comes to certain things. And yeah, again, there's no attack. I'm not trying to attack anybody. I'm not a woke person. So I tend to view things through more of a conservative lens or a more of a leaning right lens on things, you know. But again, I appreciate good dialogue and I appreciate good, you know, arguments, and I appreciate anybody's position out there if they stand behind it and can stand behind it, you know, with some, you know, with a little ass behind them, you know, and just give it to me a little bit in respect to where their position's at, why it's where it's at, and let's have a conversation. And I'm good with that. Matter of fact, I really invite that and want to see that, especially on some of the clips and stuff that I throw out there on the internet. It's important that we have dialogue, and we all know this, and it's important that we also have a little free speech, right? We can say what we want to say. We shouldn't have to worry about offending everybody out there. If people are getting offended by it, or if they have thin skin, well, maybe that's just a little bit of a sign. Maybe they just need to loosen up a little bit. Certainly on this show, as many of you know, I try to lend a little levity to everything out there. I try to have a little fun with it. I try to see the humor in things, and maybe it doesn't come across that way all the time, but essentially that's what I'm trying to convey, is a little bit of humor. I talk about men being toxic. I talk about women being toxic. You know, some things, of course, come through as I'm trying to, like, I got one last week where I was enabling verbal abuse to women. That's not true. That's simply not true. It was one of the things that was on, what was it? Ask Me Anything, right? You guys remember that one from last weekend? The Instagram thing where you ask me anything, and I talked about these girls essentially, you know, getting on these guys for saying very rude, you know, comments, as if they didn't know the comments were coming, right? You're going to ask anything, that's what you're going to get. So I got a little bit of feedback on that. It was more of a chastising, really. It wasn't a lot of dialogue, to be honest with you. But these guys in particular were very very passionate about their position, and I can respect that. And basically said that I was enabling, you know, guys out there and taking away the voice of women, or in the sense that I was allowing sort of or you know, drawing the dots or drawing the lines to allow this type of verbal abuse. That's not true. I was just simply pointing out the levity of it all. You know, so there's a different take on that. And if you don't listen to this entire podcast and you only listen to clips, this isn't just go with this podcast, but for any podcast out there, if you're just listening to clips of something and there was a 10-minute conversation or a few minutes prior to it and before after it, excuse me, you're missing out on a lot of the context. So I encourage everybody, don't, not just for this show, but for any show, you see a clip out there, don't start leaning too heavily one way or the other on it until you go back to a show and you listen to the whole conversation from starting point to finishing point. You know, I think you'll see kind of the context a little clearer there, how it was meant to be presented to all you guys out there, including myself. You know, I used to get in the habit of doing that. You watch a little clip on TikTok and go, "Oh my God, you just get so inflamed by that." The truth is, if you go back and listen to, you know, the whole piece of that or the whole conversation, you know, it's less clickbait then and more, okay, it's going to open my eyes to maybe a more in-depth conversation that maybe I wouldn't be so reactive about it. So I would encourage, obviously, everybody to do that. And if they ever hear me say anything in respect to some of these issues that seems very inflammatory, go back and listen to the whole, you know, podcast. Of course, you guys are listening to me right now, so I'm assuming you listen to the whole thing. But I encourage you to tell people that as well, not just about my podcast, but about anything they listen to out there. There's always more to the story, guys. There's always more to the story. And certainly with that comment last week, Ask Me Anything, about the guys getting chastised for giving these, you know, somewhat, you know, vulgar remarks that, you know, I wasn't condoning. I was more making fun of. I'll have you guys know, and this is true, my Ask Me Anythings, that one last week about that one, and the one about the reverse hack squat for women, came from women in the gym, by the way. This wasn't guys pointing that out. It was actually women pointing it out. I got in a conversation with 3 or 4 girls about that exact thing, Ask Me Anything. And you guys won't be surprised to know that they all thought it was hilarious because they knew what kind of comments that they were, you know, essentially, you know, going after. Matter of fact, one of them specifically said to me, yeah, I'm going to do Ask Me Anything. I says, you're not going to do Ask Me Anything. She goes, no, I really am. I'm going to do Ask Me Anything. I says, you know what you're going to get, right? She goes, oh, I know exactly what I'm going to get, and I like to give it back to them. So there you go. It's not always about the toxicity of men. Women, too, can be a bit toxic, and I think we can all appreciate that. And I do. Like, I had a great conversation with him. It was funny. I thought it was funny. Apparently not. Anyhow, I digress. Let's move on. All right, let's make a fun show here today. Got a lot of things to talk about. I picked up about five different strongman events I wanted to kind of just make mention. There's a ton of them out there, and you guys know how engaged I am in the strongman community. So we'll go over a couple of those here and there throughout the show. The first one that I want to lead with is the Great Lakes Strongest Man, to no surprise. Of course, I haven't said Great Lakes Strongest Man in quite a few episodes, but we're back in that calendar year again where all these great summer shows are coming up on us. And as you guys know, I do play favorites with the Great Lakes Strongest Man because it's one of the best shows promoted out there across the United States, without a doubt, arguably the world. And it's one of the biggest amateur events in the entire nation. And again, I'm probably in the world. And the way that it's promoted up there is fantastic in Turtle Creek Stadium. It is one of the best promotions I've ever been to, pro or otherwise. Would compete with any high-level pro show, I guarantee you that. The way it's organized and produced, it doesn't get any better than that. And guess what? It just got better than that. ADL is coming on board with George Bullard and the Great Lakes Strongest Man this year. So congratulations to all of us, really, because we're the ones ultimately that are going to win from that. We're going to be able to witness, or I'm going to finally be able to, I say me, right, because I take ownership of George's show, to have this show be broadcast to everybody out there within the strongman community to see for themselves firsthand what an awesome, awesome show this is and what a spectacle of an event this is at the highest level on all levels. So Don with ADL, George Bullard with the Great Lakes Strongest Man got together and came up with a perfect weekend plan to showcase this show to everybody out there. And of course, as you guys know, by default, anyhow, I'm up there being a part of that, but I'm also going to commentate the live stream, me and a special co-host. We haven't decided who that's going to be yet, for both days. And what I mean by both days is we're going to have a strongman event, which is a pro qualifier, of course, for USS, heavyweight open pro qualifier. Top three guys go to USS Pro International. It's not only that, it's a bounty of a $1,000 bounty on Jake Harmon's head, King of the North. We'll talk about that here coming up. And then, of course, we're going to have all their classes, probably run four lanes again. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to commentate, on top of that, the CrossFit event. They're having a big CrossFit event up there called, it's presented by CrossFit Due North. That's Brad Giglio and looks like Josh Moulton's his last name. And I'm going to get with these guys and do an interview with Brad about this. But this is an official CrossFit team event. There'll be over 100 competitors there competing at Turtle Creek Stadium prior to the Strongman event on Saturday. Of course, prior to being Friday, I believe they're competing on Friday. No, I take that back. They're not. I think they're going to be competing on Saturday around the Strongman event. So the Strongman are going to kind of be coming in and out of this CrossFit event, kind of a collaboration, if I understood George correctly. And it's just going to be a spectacle. It's going to be all day long. So they'll have 200 strongmen and women there. They'll have another 100-plus CrossFitters there. The stands are going to be full because you know the way these CrossFit people travel. I'm excited about it because I finally get to be a part of a cool CrossFit event, something I've wanted to get on board with this show, of course, since last year, guys, since we talked about the Rogue and even prior to that. As you know, I've turned the corner on supporting these CrossFitters. I just think it's amazing what they do. And, of course, it lends to all of our other sports as well. There's a huge tie-in. Getting people involved in CrossFit, they turn out to be strong men, strong women, powerlifters, bodybuilders, and everything else. So it's a great sport for people to get involved in our community with it on all levels. I'm super excited about being part of that. And it's going to be an elite level CrossFit competition. That's what I got for you guys. And I'll get more on that as we get going closer and closer to the event. I'll have Brad on. We'll do an interview with him. We'll get some CrossFitters on as well and talk to them about it. This is a huge opportunity for the Great Lakes community, a huge opportunity for us spectating audience now since ADL is going to be on board with this. And, I'll commentate it, and we'll have a lot of fun up there in Traverse City. That, of course, is going to be, George, my goodness, September 16th. Yes, I got it right, September 16th. So anyhow, get ready for that. That's going to be one hell of a fun show. Powerlifting, kind of move back and forth here. Big show coming up this weekend. I wanted to point out because I despite what the naysayers, yes, I'm getting into powerlifting. Yes. Anyhow, that's a story for another day. I love pro powerlifting. Pro powerlifting, certainly. And I love, of course, USAPL. And I'm starting to do a little few more events on the USAPL, if you guys wanted to know. I just had to heal up my arm and stuff and transitional. And I missed a couple because of that. And I'm going to get back on board with live streaming a few other events starting next month. But more importantly, I want to try to get more involved with the pro powerlifting scene. You know, I had an interview with John Hack the other day. Of course, everybody knows John. If you don't know who John Hack is, I mean, really, he's probably arguably on everybody's top two or three lists of the greatest powerlifters in the world right now, who's going to be competing in his first U90 Strongman show, which is the Chaos Classic U90 over there in England, which, oh, by the way, I'll be over there as well, hopefully commentating. I'm thinking maybe I can do something on lending to the production over there. I'll have to get with Luke on that. But more importantly, I'll be over there for the podcast, getting my eyes on everything, doing some interviews like I did at Clash at the Coast, and I'll be over there for that. So we'll talk about the Chaos Classic here a little bit more in a minute. But the APF has got a real big event going on that I wanted to get to because, it's just trying to figure this out, guys, with the logistics. Maybe someday. I'm hoping by next year. This is all I'm going to do is travel around to these events, both strongman, powerlifting, CrossFit, and other, and bring you guys the action through this podcast. That's my goal. I've got some big plans, some big vision here for this show. And just simply because of the response that I've gotten from all you guys about being interactive with these events over the past 6 or 7 months. But APF has got one down in Cincinnati, the Women's Pro-Am. Talk about the who's who. Amber Hansen's going to be there. Leah Reichman. Crystal Tate's going to be there. I mean, these are the best of the best, guys. Talk about the best in the world. You know what qualifies you for this show, by the way, you powerlifters out there? If you ever wanted to kind of know, or you people who follow powerlifting, what type of totals you have to qualify for this event, try 7 times body weight just to get through the door. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, if you're a 150-pound woman, right, essentially, you're totaling well over 1,000 pounds just to get invited to this competition. And I can tell you, every one of these women are well above that, probably closer to 8 or 9 times, 10 times body weight in some cases. So it's pretty frightening the amount of strength that's going to be at the show. My friend Anna Vembo is going to be there as well. And yeah, Cincinnati, that's going to be off the chain this weekend. It seems like every weekend right now there's a big powerlifting show going on. And I need to get a little closer connection to all that for all you guys out there. Would love to do it. Oh, my gosh, would I love to do it. So we'll see. Maybe some organizations over others. It's hard to say. But in any case, I'm going to try to get some more reporting on all that for you and not lean so heavily with the USAPL, but also lend my support to that organization, as I always do. This was kind of brought up to me, and it's funny. Goob_U2 also did sort of a little piece on this the other day. And this was something I had on my list that's worth noting, right? Kind of a fun sort of, you know, times have changed. Let me just say that. Times have changed. Back in the day, a guy would run steroids. He wouldn't even talk about it, right? He would just say, I'm eating a lot, or I'm taking a lot of creatine, or he would name some over-the-counter, like, testosterone booster, that some obsolete shit. I mean, you go way back, even EAS. My guys remember EAS, you old guys out there? They used to have one, kind of their first one, you know, the test boosters, or I don't know, Deconate boosters or whatever they used to call them back then, before they were even test boosters. A lot of that stuff worked too, because of course we know the FDA didn't have any type of procedural stuff that kept the real shit from going into this shit, if you know what I mean. Of course, every now and then somebody get popped and all of a sudden the brand would go away, and then something would appear months later and would start the process all over again. But guys back then never admitted to being on gear. Matter of fact, it was like nobody wanted to admit it. It wasn't too long ago, really. Now it's become so cultural, you know, that everybody just talks about it freely, like whether they are or they aren't, because it's so readily available. The accessibility of this stuff is just silly. And it used to be, well, what's real, what isn't real? And now you can argue anymore that most of the shit's real. It's just how potent it is or not potent it is, because it's not inexpensive for these outside labs to buy this stuff, right, from China or wherever they're getting it. They produce this stuff in high volume, and they sell it fairly cheap. So I'm not, of course, I probably should put an asterisk or a disclaimer on that. I'm not condoning that behavior, law enforcement. I'm just pointing out the obvious. You know, that kind of stuff goes on. But guys generally never talked about their gear usage, or women for that matter. Women, for certainly not. You never heard women talking about gear usage out there. completely voodoo. No, that never happened. Not so much these days. Women are not quite where men are at with it, but there are a lot of women out there being very transparent about their I guess you call it athletic enhancement, right? Whatever they're using or doing, whether that's peptides or SARMs or you know, anabolic steroids, that kind of thing. There's quite a few of them that are pretty transparent. Listen, it goes without saying, and we see this in some of these sports that, you know, nobody's going to deny it, right? I mean, if you're a top-level power lifter for the APF and you're not in the tested division, that would imply that you're probably taking gear. Strong man, strong woman, yeah, there's a bit more of a shadowy effect out there with that because, A, our sport's not tested, and B, you know, people tend to still kind of keep that under the lid a little bit. Although you get some very transparent people out there, have no problem talking about it. And of course, if you've been in the sport, you have a better idea who's doing what and not doing what. And I can tell you a vast majority of people in our sport are, and it's just the way it is. Sometimes to compete at any level, high level for certain, you know, you make exceptions to things that you know you need to do to get to that level. And that goes without saying in any sport for that matter, and not just with gear. You know, if you're a baseball player and you want to be a great baseball player, guess what? You're training, you know, you're training all the intangibles constantly. You're doing something above and beyond what everybody else is doing that isn't a great baseball player. Maybe not the best analogy, but I think you guys know what I'm saying. In order to keep up with the best, you got to do what the best are doing. And if baseball was removed from drugs, which it's not, we all know this. It's forever. We all know it's getting in there somehow. But let's just say it wasn't. In order to be a great baseball player, then you'd have to hone your skills and continue to do that. In order to be at a high level, you couldn't take the summer off or you couldn't take the winter off. No different with strongman or powerlifting or all these lifting sports. You know, in order to compete at a high level, there's just a different way you have to get there now. For 99% of my audience out there, they would agree. Yeah, you have to kind of enter this sort of, you know, the dark side of sports. And that's, of course, you know, performance enhancing drugs. And it's being more culturally accepted, of course. You know, more people are like, whatever, guys doing this, guys doing that. But the comedy of it is now, TRT, of course, we know as testosterone replacement therapy, isn't considered doing steroids all of a sudden. All of a sudden, isn't that crazy? Nope, if you're on TRT, you're not doing steroids, according to a lot of people out there that claim that they're not doing steroids, but they're doing TRT. Listen, you're doing steroids. Stop it already. Stop it. It's ridiculous because now you're hearing these 20-year-olds or 22-year-olds or 20-somethings anyhow that don't require, 90% of them don't require any type of testosterone replacement because their levels are sky high as it is, that will take testosterone now and tell their friends, oh, I'm running TRT. No, you're not. The key word there is replacement. You're not replacing lost testosterone because you have none. You're not running TRT. You're running testosterone, a steroid. You're on steroids. For fuck's sake, just say it the way it's supposed to be said. TRT applies to those who are missing testosterone. They're lacking it to be functional. That is TRT. Well, or lack of a better definition. You guys know what I'm saying. I think it's just kind of comical. TRT now is kind of what do you want to call it? A little bit of a blocker, right, between the reality of it and the fantasy of it. And if you're taking TRT, you're taking steroids. Simple as that. Now, I get it. Dosing changes. If somebody's taking TRT and they tell me they're running 400 mgs a week, I would argue that they're not taking TRT at that point. Maybe the first 200 of that's the replacement, but the next 200 is performance enhancing. Right? You guys get what I'm saying out there? If I take 200 mgs of TRT and I get my test up to 700 or 800 as a man, okay, I'm in functional parameters, right? If I take more than that and I get over 1,000, you know, parts per million, I'm actually above what functional is and I'm into performance enhancement at that point. So let's be careful how we throw around the acronym TRT. TRT is testosterone replacement therapy. If you don't need to replace your testosterone, you're not on TRT. As simple as that. And you still are always taking a steroid. Let's be clear. Don't say TRT. No, I'm not on steroids. I'm just taking TRT. No, you're taking a steroid. I just think it's kind of funny because back in the day, guys didn't want to admit to anything. Now all of a sudden, they'll admit to almost everything. And now all of a sudden, not only are they only admitting to everything, But then they pull back on that and go, well, maybe I'll rethink this. I won't admit to the Tren and the D-ball and the Anadrol and the Halitosin and whatever it is else you're doing, the Deca and the Nandrolone and or the MPP or whatever it is. I'm just doing tests, and I'll get away with that, even though I look like I'm doing like 5,000 migs a week of the whole kitchen, you know, throwing the kitchen sink at it. I'm just doing TRT. Well, anyhow, to each their own out there. But listen, guys, transparency is key. Nobody's buying it. Just tell people, you know, if you're comfortable with them in conversation. And I get it. That's the key word there. You know, you're not going to tell everybody what you're doing all the time. But if you're in a conversation with somebody and you don't want to say it, then don't say it. Just don't make shit up. That's all I'm getting at. Just say, I'd rather not talk about it. And if you are on TRT, then say TRT. But if you're not, don't say TRT. Just say testosterone treatment. Remove the R. I'm on testosterone treatment. Remove the R. No replacement. So anyhow, that was worth mentioning, and that was kind of brought back to my attention by Goobs here, because he's just so good, guys. If you guys ever get a chance to, I know everybody's on Instagram out there, go to it, Goob, G-O-O-B-S, right? Goobs, is it plural? I can't remember now. G-O-O-B, maybe the S, underscore U2. He does some crazy stuff out there with shedding the light on some of the, you know, the dark side of the fitness community, right? The pretenders out there, the people that don't belong, or you know, the people that are despicable, or, you know, he's uncovered some pretty crazy stories of people, and just some really simple things where influencers are photoshopping their shit, claiming to be not editing anything. And he uncovers that. He's got a great show. I love watching all of his stuff, and I encourage you guys to get over there and watch him. So what else is going on? So we talked about the Chaos Classic, or not Chaos Classic. We'll get on that real quick, because that's coming up, of course, July 23rd. And I say coming up because, guys, we're almost to summer. And when we hit like the first part of June, this shit's going, right? We're only a few weeks away from that. There's so many big shows coming up, bam, 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 including, of course, World's Strongest Man, which is in like 2 weeks or next week. So we'll do a show on that leading up to it, probably on Monday or Tuesday. I'll get some of the guys on to do a pro picks for that one. But the Chaos Classic, of course, which is Luke Davies' show, Chaos Promotions, part of the Chaos organization over there in England, is going to be doing in Lytham St. Anne in England on July 23rd, the Chaos Classic. You guys heard me talking about it, the U90 Classic, which is arguably the best lineup that any lineup of all weight classes, both men and women, ever in the history of sport have been put together. And I would challenge anybody to give me another example of a better lineup from top to bottom than this lineup. They can't do it. I guarantee you they can't do it. I thought about putting the resume of all these guys together just to show you how unbelievable the pedigree is of all these guys competing. And truth is, that probably take me 3 weeks to do, so I don't have time to do it. But that's how good this lineup is. John Hack is, of course, going to be a part of that lineup coming over powerlifting, which is the great unknown, right? The variable of all variables. You know, John Hack versus the world, essentially, because nobody knows how he's going to do. A lot of guys think he's going to do real well in that show. I don't disagree. He's certainly going to have some events he's going to do really, really well in. If John can pull together his movement, right, because that's the big thing in this U90 class, it's not just about strength. That's got to be at a really high level. But if you're not moving and transitioning right, that's where this show is going to be won and lost. And with 30 guys of this caliber, there's no room for mistake. The guys that don't make mistakes in the show will be your top 3 to 5, or top 1 to 5, guarantee it. Any glaring mistake from anybody else, they won't even be in the conversation. There'll be no getting back into this show if guys don't perform at almost a perfect level. Seriously, perfect. That's the way it's going to have to be. So this is going to be a real cool show in that respect. Can't wait to see it. Luke just announced all the events, the event weights with me the other day. If you guys haven't seen that, get on Gym Life Podcast, YouTube, or any of the sound platforms, and Luke goes over the actual weight of these events, which to no surprise was very thought out. Luke's that kind of guy. He thought of every intangible when it comes to the way that he wants to see his contest run at a high level, and the type of obstacles he wants to see these athletes overcome when it comes to, you know, movement and strength. And I think he's put together a hell of an event list for 6 events. So get on to check that out. Also, too, Central States is coming up prior to, and that's going to be July 8th. Listen, this is a big show. ADL is going to be there live streaming that show. Matter of fact, ADL is at almost all these shows. That wasn't by design, guys. That's just Don and Nancy. They're taking over the strongman world when it comes to quality live streaming for all these big events. And I'm kind of following right behind them, it seems, in every one of these shows, because I'm going to make it to the Central States as well. I'm 95% certain I can get there. Got to move some vacation stuff around, which isn't going to be easy, but I'm going to try. I don't want to miss this show, A, because I love Chad Coy, B, because Essential States is the longest running strongman production in the nation and has been. Nobody's ran it longer. I think 22 years now officially. It's been around, if I got my dates right. And they're also going to be a part of the big Masters event that's going to be here at this show. And I'm not quite sure if that Masters event is going to tie into something else I'm going to talk about here in a minute. I'm not quite sure because all those particulars are being worked out right now. It wouldn't surprise me if it becomes a Pro Strongman League event. Maybe. I don't know. Probably should have asked that to Tyler, or maybe I did, and he told me, and I forget now. But in any case, that's going to be a huge show. I know they've already got 40-plus competitors in that Masters class. Originally, Chad invited me to be there to compete. Obviously, I can't. My tricep. But I'm going to be there regardless to represent, do some podcasting. Maybe I can convince them to let me commentate a little bit as well. I know most of these old guys, respect the hell out of them, and I can get pretty excited about watching them compete. So I'm going to be there 95% sure. So what was the other thing? It kind of segue back and forth, the kind of stuff I've seen like on the on the feed, right? The social media feed, or if I'm watching other podcasts and stuff, I try to write little tidbits down. That's where it would be helpful if I had like a really fun co-host or something. Keep me on point a little bit. Or help me go back and forth with some of these topics. But nice to see that the medical community has now determined that physical exercise is 1.5 times greater than treatment for depression. Go figure. Saw that on Joe Rogan show. Him and Russell Brand were on the other day. And of course, I'm a huge fan of Joe Rogan. I mean, who isn't a huge fan of Joe Rogan and the way he does his business? He had Russell Brand on, who, if you don't know Russell Brand, left-leaning guy, but I love to listen to him talk because he just makes a lot of sense. If this was a political show, we'd go on a little bit down that road. But Russell Brand is definitely a guy that I love to listen to. He believes in conversation and dialogue, and any guy that does that, I don't care which way you lean. I'm going to be on your team, that's for sure. So, in any case, that was a fun show. They actually went over that, 1.5 times greater to fight depression than normal treatment. Yeah, go figure. It's like all these great revelations are taking place, There's a problem with our kids in this generation. For the last 20 years, they're lazy as fuck. That's the problem. These kids don't want to do anything. They want to play video games and be on technology all the time. Shit, we're guilty of it. Us older folk are guilty of it at a higher level than we've ever experienced before in our lives. Could you imagine if you were born into this shit? The idea that there's going to be any physicality with these kids at all in 30 years from now is going to be a small minority of them that are actually going to be participating in sports, for God's sake. So we definitely got to get a handle on this physical activity stuff. We have to dial things back in, if you will, and force this generation and these future generations to get out to be active. And maybe I'm overreacting, right? Because we got football, baseball, and all this stuff. But I don't think I am. I really don't. I mean, I get it that that's what we see when we're out in our communities. Go, what do you mean? The football team's got 100 guys on it, or the basketball team's got a full bench. And, well, wait a second. We're talking about all these other kids as well. Participating in sports is one thing. But now it's either you have those kids or you don't have any. And I think that's where the disparity lies. You got all these kids participating in the sports, which are great. My brother didn't participate in any sports. But he was active as hell and still is. So my point is these behaviors aren't being taught outside of athletics, unfortunately, because now gym class and all this stuff's being removed from school. There's not other opportunities or inviting situations that want to get kids outside to be active anymore, it seems. It's all being taken away. It's a real big dilemma out there. So, yeah, to no surprise, maybe some of these now statistics that are coming through, 1.5 times greater than medical or with being treated with medicine to fight depression. You think maybe people that make up policy then will get a hold of this. I know that's wishful thinking. I get it. But they get a hold of this and actually manifest something from it that's going to benefit, not just our kids, but all of us for that matter, and start making that a part of living, right? Being active. Motion is lotion, guys. Movement is everything. I would advise all you to quit thinking about how old you are. Right now, forget your birthday, forget your age, and just think about moving and just think about living and stop reminding yourself you're getting older and just say, I'm going to be young forever. And I guarantee you're going to find a lot of these aches and pains are going to go away with just the thought of getting out there and moving around and not worrying about, how old you're getting and things you shouldn't be doing. Conversation for another day. That kind of took me off on a topic. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about that. It's true. Construct of time is bringing all of us to an old age very, very quickly, And if I can forget my birthday and forget my age tomorrow, I would. I honestly would, because I try to act 30 years old every single day. I say 30 because, you know, in the 20s, I made a lot of fucking mistakes in my 20s. I don't want to repeat that. So I'm in my 30s now, in my brain, and I feel like that outside of my body, occasionally reminding me, like my tricep did, a War of the North, that you're not. But despite that, it's not going to hold me back. I'm going to be back to it. You know, I had a, during one of my conversations with some people this week, that close to me, some close friends, not even lifting community stuff. Believe it or not, I have friends outside the lifting community. Only a couple. One of them asked me after he found out I hurt my tricep. He said, so is it, are you done with this stuff now? I looked at him. I said, what are you talking about? You mean, are you done with this stuff now? Are you done doing that stuff now? Like he said it in the tone, like, you done being silly, man? You ready to start getting old like the rest of us? Seriously, I'm not lying. That's the way this guy made it sound. And as a friend of mine, I looked right at him and says, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm never going to be done with this shit because this is who I am. This isn't what I want to be. And I don't think it resonates with some people. And you guys know out there what I'm talking about. There's this group of people out there, a large majority of them, that see what you're doing in this lifting community and your competition and all this other stuff that you're doing to keep yourself physically fit and not just in shape, but to take it to the next level kind of stuff where you're putting in time in and time in again each week to get yourself at a better physical level than you've ever been. You challenge yourself day in and day out, not only with what you eat, but what you do. I'm going on a walk. I'm working out. I'm going to wake up early. I'm going to work out. I'm going to go ride my bike. You interject all this physical activity in your life because it's supposed to be there because that's who you are. Then you've got these people on the peripheral that think you're just playing some fucking game or something. Like, come on now, let's just get to reality here. Boy, when's he going to quit doing this? Or boy, do you think she's done with that yet? Like it's some fucking game we signed up for. Like we're just going to go, okay, I'm done now. Boy, that was fun. I mean, who lives like that in our gym lives, in our culture, right? I don't think anybody does. Because the minute you step into this culture and you realize that this is it, this is not only what's going to keep me alive forever and love life. I mean, it's the fountain of youth for sure. But it just becomes a mindset. And it carries over to everything we do. Physical activity, competition or other, isn't what we want to be. It's who we fucking are. And it just amazed me when he said that to me. I was kind of taken back by it. I almost thought I didn't hear him correctly. Like he was insinuating, you done with this shit yet? You ready to get on to living life and dying? Listen, I'm already dying. We're all going that road. But I'm never going to stop living. Holy shit. That just reminded me, man, we're not all created equal up here when it comes to the way we think about our gym lives and our this gym culture and this competition culture. No, I'm not done. Shit, no, I'm not done. I always make the joke, I got great fucking insurance. I'm going back at it again in 12 weeks. You know, maybe I'll be a lighter, leaner version of myself, but and there's these subtle changes maybe we'll make to become more adapt or adapting to maybe if there are any ailments, right, or restrictions. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing it. It means I might press a little differently or, you know, my hip might prevent me from maybe not going to depth, and it doesn't, by the way, in squat. So maybe I don't squat anymore, but I'll deadlift and bench press. So anyhow, you guys know what I'm saying. It was just a shock for me to hear that, and I would remind everybody out there that those people exist, and when they say shit like that to you, look at them, go, you just don't have a clue. Matter of fact, don't say anything to them because it just isn't worth your breath or time because they won't understand. They absolutely won't. What's the next show on my list here today? It's kind of a strongman show. I like it, right? Of course, let me talk some CrossFit. We're going to get into Highland Games, too. Big Highland Games stuff coming up. The Alma Games is coming up here in my state. I didn't sign up for it, obviously, because of my tricep, although I told these guys I'd try to throw left-handed. I haven't really had time to train, although I need to get a couple of those Cerberus throwing bags, by the way, which are super cool for guys that need to train in parking lots and they can't go out and buy like the WOB or wait for distance and stuff because buying chunks of steel right now on chain is crazy expensive and you can't even get it shipped for, you know, a cheap price anymore. So Cerberus has got these throwing bags, you know, that you can do, well, anything from a 28-pound, you know, weight for distance to a 56-pound WOB, really. A little bit different, obviously, because it's a handle and not a chain. So there's a little bit of play there in respect to how an actual implement's going to feel in competition. But as far as like practicing your triple extension and your WOB, or you're practicing your you know, your spin technique and your distance work, boy, man, I got to get one, because I'm telling you, that's a game changer right there. A lot of guys are training with that stuff out there right now. And if you guys aren't familiar with some of the things I'm talking about, get out to a Highland Game Show this summer. Put it on your list. You've got all these weekends. I shouldn't say that. I get it. Everybody's pressed for time. Make it a point, if you're in a particular town, if they have a Highland Games competition going on and you're in the lifting community, you need to go watch it. Because I got a sneaky suspicion most of you would fall in love with it the minute you laid your eyes on it, when you saw how much fun it would be to compete at one of these summer, essentially they're done at summer festivals, everywhere year-round in some locations, like South Carolina, talking to Panda, who's always competing in them these days. But they're a great, great outlet for us to do in our strength sports when we're not competing strongman, we're not powerlifting, not bodybuilding, doing this other stuff. Highland Games is it's a very non-impact way to throw heavy shit around. You're not really hurting yourself doing this sport. It'd be difficult. Yeah, you have to do a lot of stretching, stay limber, that kind of thing. There may be some pulled muscles here or there, not like any other sport on the planet. But Highland Games is a great outlet for us strength guys, these strength gals that want to just do something fun and throw on a kilt and drink some beer afterwards and just enjoy a summer day. There's nothing like it, guys. Honest to goodness. We'll be bringing you more of that. I had Eric the Giant on last year, who just won his second Arnold Amateur, is now a pro, by the way. 6'8", 350 pounds. He's lighting up a little bit, but he's doing a lot of weight training now. He's a very strong guy. We'll get him to strongman at some point, but he's a part of my Michigan scene up here, and it's great to be able to train with him and Cam and throw with them. But we'll get those guys back on. I've been meaning to get Cam on. Cam took third again at the Arnold this year. Another guy that's going to be pro soon, looking fantastic. And, of course, all my other buddies a part of the Highland Games community up here. Maybe do a round table with them. That'd be a fucking fun time. A round table with the stories these guys can tell. Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. The other show, Feats of Strength 2, that's one in Kalamazoo. Inez Catasquillo is going to be there. She's going to be co-announcing that show with me, by the way. So that'll be live stream, not on ADL. We're just going to do a single or double camera live stream on that one. And Inez and I are going to be there commentating for everybody, which will be a lot of fun running into her again. We pass each other here and there throughout the year, but to be able to sit down with her for a full day and have some fun conversation about the athletes in the show is going to be on a whole nother level. So I can't wait to do that with Inez. The Pro Strongman League, guys, as you know, Clash on the Coast, and we need to mention this again and again, because this Pro Strongman League is going to be a game changer in the strongman community. It really is, guys. There are a lot of good people involved in this organization, some behind the scenes right now that I'll wait for them to be announced by Tyler in the group. But there are some great people involved in this that all have the best interest of strongman on their mind for all of us. This is not some fly-by-night operation put together last minute. This has been thought out. Still got some gaps to fill, but they're in the process of doing that. Their first show is going to be the one in on June 17th in Denver, Colorado, that 64 show. 64 World Show, I guess they're throwing up there. Rhea Lovelace, of course, is going to be there. All the great 64s are going to be there competing against her. I say against her because essentially she's the one to beat, right? You're going to win a show, you got to go through Rhea to get there. The Pro Strongman League is going to be off the chain. It's going to be listen, I couldn't be more excited about something like this in strongman community in a long, long time. And what we're going to see, of course, is just an extension of Clash. It's going to be marketed different. It's going to be branded different, of course, Pro Strongman League. It's going to be accessible more by the public. They're already doing better things with social media and marketing than that Clash had ever done or any show prior or any organization for that matter. So the Pro Strongman League's got a lot going on right now, and it's moving very, very quickly to bring this up to speed to where it needs to be a show leading by example, and all the right parts and pieces are in place. They're just going to tighten things up a little bit. The only thing I'd like to see from the Pro Strongman League, of course, is having them get to eventually, and I know Tyler brought this up, I would encourage this to happen as soon as possible, because it can't go without saying that every class in strongman and strongwoman needs to be represented. And that would be the open class of both men and women. The powers that be out there in the Pro Strongman League, I hope they're really, really talking about this on a daily basis, because it can't be forgot. We have to have other avenues for those athletes as well. And of course, they need to be a part of sitting down at the table, if you will, and be there with everybody else. So I know that's a part of the thought process right now. So it's going to be fun to watch the Pro Strongman League unfold over the next few months, particularly leading up to that June 17th show. And I'm going to try to be a little bit more of a part of those as well. I've called Tyler up, and I basically said, hey, anything I can do to help this promotion out, I'm going to do. Of course, I'll give it reviews. You guys know that. Subjectively, of course, but fair nonetheless. You know, it's going to be a league that I know it's going to lead by example and surprise the hell out of everybody. Any doubters out there that I think that this isn't going to work, I'll talk to you at the end of the year. This is going to be something bigger and better than Clash, simply because it's an evolution of everything we saw for the last 3 years at Clash. And it's going to be put together the right way, because there's a lot of hard lessons learned. And ultimately, that's what creates a better promotion, is you got to go through some bumps and bruises. And listen, guys, Pro Strongman League. Excuse me, I'm a little dried up here. The Pro Strongman League. Yeah, talk about great branding, right? Let's get some of these sponsors involved that haven't been here before. Let's get some of the general public involved that haven't seen our sport before and get excited about it and have a brand that they can recognize, and people and faces and places and personalities and athletes that start to become household names that are a part of this organization. And I'm going to do everything I can to lend anything those guys need. Oh, by the way, ADL signed with Pro Strongman League, so they're getting the best of the best on board. So how cool is that? Now we're going to see every single one of these events like we always wanted to. No holes in the schedule. ADL will be there at all these events representing. And of course, we're going to be now getting our eyes back on the best strong men and strong women in the world in every single one of these classes. So I couldn't be more pumped up about it. And I'll be sure to get out to a few of these shows. So yeah, get ready for that, guys. And now I'm going to talk a lot about the Pro Strongman League as we go forward here. Ohio Strongest, of course, is coming up. It's also in September. Is it September? Oh, shit. I didn't write that one down. But you guys know I follow the Ohio Strongest. That's going to be a huge event. I think they have 130 competitors. They capped out. All these record breakers are going to be going on there. So we'll, of course, be talking a lot about Ohio Strongest leading up to that as well. And, of course, all these other shows, too. I'm thinking of Dia del Dildo. ADL is going to be down there. Chris Faccio's show. I'd love to get to. I'm still trying, guys. It's a tough weekend for me. I'm going to miss something every weekend now. I already know that leading through the summer, because, you know, family and friends and all that stuff, and family vacations and weddings. And, you know, it's like every single weekend now. There's a great powerlifting show. There's a great strongman show. Several of them going on the same day. It's just so hard to pick and choose which ones you can make it to and which you can't. And of course, when you're working on a zero budget, you have to be a little bit more particular about where you're traveling and how you're getting there. But in any case, that'll be a crazy summer. I hope to get that calendar down officially, because I know a lot of you have been reaching out to me asking me if I'm going to be going to some of these shows. And yeah, I'm giving you what I know. Some of them, that's confirmed yes, and some of them are a big maybe, and some of them are almost done as far as being on the calendar. So we'll see. And I certainly appreciate you guys supporting my show, because it sounds like you guys are liking what you're seeing out there. And despite some of you I've pissed off in the last few weeks. By the way, I might do it again here. I'm not going to do it again here. This is just worth mentioning. By the way, this is just worth mentioning. Be clear out there, guys. I'm just reporting the news here. I may laugh a little bit because I think it's funny. And I got a few things to say to Budweiser. You know, it's about beer, right? We can all appreciate beer. Most of us out there in the powerlifting and strongman community, maybe not bodybuilding so much, maybe CrossFit a little. I think they're more wine drinkers than CrossFit, to be honest with you. They're kind of bougie. You guys know that. They pay an awful lot to have somebody tell them to run around. That's a fact. But I would say it's a part of our culture nonetheless. So some of these things are fun to talk about. I'm sure you guys heard the Anheuser-Busch debacle, right? And I just have to make a comment on this, because actually I got it right. I'm gonna share something with Anheuser-Busch that they don't even have to pay me for, really. I'll get to that here in a second. So you guys know out there that Anheuser-Busch hired this vice president of marketing who looks like she just like left the picket line at some like liberal university, like picketing against free speech or something. I mean, honest to God, listen to this girl talk, and she's completely disconnected with reality. She just doesn't get it. This sort of subculture that she's been a part of, like going through her educational years, has like completely changed her brain in the way it's supposed to function in normal society. And it was really obvious in this decision that, well, it wasn't even her decision, really. It was her idea. That's the scary part about this. Think about this for a minute. It was this young vice president, this woman, who made the decision to bring this to the, I'm guessing, a board of directors, right? Somebody has to ultimately put the stamp of approval on this, that they wanted to get a greater market share in Budweiser and Bud Light, because it was her argument that they're going to, if they don't conform to be a more inclusive beer drinking company, that they're going to lose to everybody else. So her idea simply was to say, listen, in order to do this, we need to get the transgender community on board. Largely, it seemed, anyhow, that's the way that was marketed, albeit I think it was LGBTQ, but the transgender community on board. And again, guys, I'm not hating. I'm making a point here about how hilarious this is, right? Hilarious, because it's crazy. You can't believe the disconnect of some people. Not everything needs to be changed out there is my point, right? So it was her idea to bring this Dylan Mulvaney on. Dylan Mulvaney, maybe some of you know him. I didn't know who he was. He was a popular influencer out there who started a series called Girlhood. He's a transgender lad. We call that a woman, right? Transgender woman. And she had this sort of YouTube sensation of being a part of this series called, or that she created called Girlhood, about herself going through this growing up as a woman in a man's body kind of thing. I don't know. I don't explain it to you. In any case, it got very popular. She's a mega influencer. So it was this vice president of Anheuser-Busch that thought that would be a good idea to have Dylan Mulvaney represent their brand. I mean, why not? It makes complete sense. The entire, I would say, beer drinking population is largely made up of middle of the country, red state, men, blue collar. Do I need to go on here? I think we all know who beer drinkers are out there. I get it. There's some outliers. Don't get pissed off, you bougie guys. I get it. You're not any of that, right? You're liberal and all that. I would have to say, though, 80% of beer drinkers out there, largely, at least the larger swath of the American public who will fall into the category of blue-collar, male, middle America, are beer drinkers. They thought it would be a great idea to have this transgender lady, fella, person, represent their brand. Yeah, well, first off, I don't know if it was such a good idea anyhow, because the 1% of the population is made up of transgenders, I believe, or less. It's much less. And I think it's 3.7% of the entire population in the United States is made up of the LGBTQ community, which is, again, a very small percentage. So I'm not so sure that trying to market your product, especially beer, again, that was largely blue collar, middle America, men, to try to pick up this outlier of 3.7%, maybe getting 1% of it at best, to up your brand, you know, bring more profit into your brand, bring more beer drinkers into your brand. Yeah, not a very good idea. I think we can all agree on that, right? Is there anybody out there right now that is listening to this that actually agrees with what they were thinking? I would guess not. I would guess that most of us that have a military education like myself, right? Not college, at best military high school education, maybe a couple classes in a community college, could have came up with a better idea than that. And this lady, no doubt, is making the big bucks over this decision, by the way. They lost $4 billion in market share overnight because the way that resonated within the beer drinking community backfired in their face so bad that not only were guys blowing up beer cans and kegs and cases of beer, running them over with tractors, but Kid Rock now is on a rampage himself, which, you know, by the way, he probably brings in about 30% of those beer drinkers to boycott Budweiser and Bud Light. Brilliant move, Budweiser. I mean, holy shit. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to drink your beer now, because I agree with them 100%. People in these companies have to quit making decisions around inclusivity sometimes, not to say it's a bad thing, but just simply, it doesn't help everybody's brand. They're not starting a campaign that hates anybody, but what I'm suggesting is just go with what works. Why would you do it any other way? You have a whole population of young men out there that are being introduced to White Claws and Trulies right now. Turn those young fellas back into men, would you? Talk about beer drinking being a man's sport again. Get out. Here's two words for you. Bikini team. What's wrong with the Budweiser bikini team? Do you guys remember that? I know I'm not that old. They were around, what, 10 or 15 years ago. You'd walk into a bar on any random night, and the local bikini team would be in there from Budweiser passing out I don't know what they give, like stickers and magnets of Budweiser beer. Fuck, we loved it. It was great. I don't know why they changed their format. What they've essentially done is they've alienated this next generation of men coming up, you know, these 21-year-olds or 20-year-olds that are soon going to be beer drinkers. Of course, we all know that happens about 14. But my point is, why alienate that crowd? They need some love right now. Give it back to them. Start a campaign that's going to reach out to these young, straight, you know, future beer drinkers of America that don't want to really drink White Claws and Trulies to be bougie or other, but now they want to identify as a straight person or simply a beer drinking individual, whatever that may be for all you haters out there. I just don't see why they overthought the process. And that lady needs to be fired. That's for certain. I mean, listen, you can't even give somebody like that a second chance. She just doesn't work within your brand. I think we can all understand that, right? And those board of directors, whoever is above her that stamped that approval of that, they need to go too. And guys, you don't have to pay me any money, Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch. Not at all. Not a dime. You can give me like 5 free cases of beer. Make it 10, because I got friends out there that like drinking a lot of Budweiser. I don't personally. I'm more of a Bud Light guy. But give me 10 free cases of beer a month. Bounce every one of your ideas off of me. I'll be sure to get you some market share. I guarantee that. Want to know why? Because I'm a blue-collar, middle America, beer-drinking man. Bring it to me, guys. Give me the beer. That's all I got for you today, guys. Finish the show on that note. For all you haters out there, keep hating because you know I love it. For all you guys that this stuff resonates with, keep listening because you know I love it even more. Stay tuned. Stay strong.